Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, yesterday, our bad martini was former House Speaker Newt Gingrich and his appearance on Meet the Press, an appearance that he's probably not going to forget about for a long time because he's taking a ton of heat, and rightly so, for saying that the Ryan plan in terms of reforming Medicare was right-wing social engineering. And right-wing social engineering is no better than left-wing social engineering. In other comments, he says mandates are not that bad of a thing when it comes to forcing people to buy health care. The Obama plan just doesn't do it the right way. So obviously, Newt taking some heat. And the most important reaction, I think, comes from Paul Ryan himself. I think most people have heard his good quip from yesterday about, with friends like these, who needs the left? But in an appearance on Laura Ingraham's radio show, who had a guest host yesterday, Paul Ryan basically laying out why his plan, in the least, is not radical, especially compared to what the president wants to do.
If we put a plan like this in place, you don't have to change the benefits for anybody who's 55 and above. I mean, that's hardly radical. What's radical is the president's new law, which now he's doubling down on, saying he wants 15 people, unelected bureaucrats he will appoint next year, and put them in charge of Medicare, and they will decide how much to cut Medicare, what prices to control, what care to ration.
So when comparing the two, it certainly seems like a pretty good bet to go with the Ryan plan, especially when you consider the way that the cost structure is addressed in the bill as well. It seems pretty safe and pretty fair, not to mention fairly conservative compared to what the president's suggesting. So not only did Ryan get in a good barb, he got in a very good explanation about why Newt is way off base.
You know, Ryan, indeed, and the other thing I would note is that Ryan may really have kind of – this may in a way may help Paul Ryan in a way we wouldn't necessarily have expected to, because when Ryan unveiled his plan, the response from the Mitt Romneys and Tim Pawlenty's of the world was generally positive. You know, I applaud Ryan for his bold vision. And then you'd say, all right, so, you know, would you enact it? And they're like, well, I need to look at all the details. They wanted to preserve a little bit of wiggle room. They knew that obviously there were some parts of the Ryan plan that are not necessarily going to be popular, going to be a tough to sell. And so they want to be able to distance themselves from anything that could be, you know, politically radioactive. Well, here comes Gingrich, who does way more than that, who doesn't say, well, I'm not so sure, but who basically denounces it. It's kind of fascinating. Apparently Newt was on Bill Bennett's radio show this morning and listened to the interview right before we started taping the Three Martini Lunch, and it's not a reassuring or encouraging appearance by Newt, because basically he's saying, well, no, I didn't really mean to insinuate that I didn't, you know, criticism of Paul Ryan, even though he called it right-wing social engineering. So if that's right. If that's praise, I'd hate to see criticism, you know. You know, Paul Ryan's plan will unleash Godzilla upon America. That might be, you know, what the only thing you could say would be worse about than right-wing social engineering. So, and, you know, apparently this morning Nikki Haley is trashing him. Obviously the reaction from most conservative writers at places like National Review and elsewhere have been, you know, tearing up Newt six ways to Sunday. You got the Wall Street Journal. It's already was upset with him over ethanol stuff, really just ripping into him. And so now it's kind of interesting. And so I'd said, you know, wouldn't it be on Twitter, wouldn't it just be easier to list the Republicans who aren't denouncing Gingrich for slamming the Ryan plan? A much shorter list. Maybe Didi Scozafaza, but maybe she will jump on the bandwagon. And, you know, a couple other folks are observing that what this says is that Paul Ryan is a more significant figure in Republican politics than Newt Gingrich is. That, in other words, that, like, you know, in the battle lines between Paul Ryan and Newt Gingrich, most Republicans are jumping on board with Paul Ryan. And, you know, that's kind of interesting. In a way, this is a at this point, maybe you don't hold the Ryan plan at arm's length. Maybe the party is wholeheartedly embracing it and saying, look, this is our hill to die on. This is where we want to draw our lines. And somebody who wants to, you know, provide the Democrats with a handy line of, you know, to show up in attack ads, we have no use for. And, you know, yesterday Charles Krauthammer was saying this is the end of Newt Gingrich's presidential campaign a whole 3 or 4 days in. Obviously, the Gingrich campaign is probably going to go on, but I think in a lot of Republican eyes, Newt has done something really unacceptable here.
Paul Ryan, if you're listening to this, it'd be great if you ran for Senate, but it'd be really, really good if you ran for president. So I'm sure he's going to make up his decision based on our podcast, but it can't hurt.
Well, Greg, my plan actually is to have him run for simultaneously re-election to the House and for Senate and for president. And once elected president, I want him to appoint himself to the Supreme Court. With the cloning program, we can put Paul. We can have a million. You've heard of, you know, 1,000 points of light. I want 1,000 Paul Ryans working throughout our government.
Let's move on to number two now, and we're kind of staying on the same subject, and that's the health care debate. And you know, we've chronicled from time to time how, you know, these companies that just don't like the president's health care plan, and particularly those who lobbied hard for it and still hate it, mainly the Democratic constituency, like big labor and so forth, have been getting waivers hand over fist here. And a new report, that at least that I'm reading from the Daily Caller, says this. Of the 204 new Obamacare waivers President Obama's administration approved in April, 38 are for fancy eateries, hip nightclubs, and decadent hotels in House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi's Northern California district. That's in addition to the 27 new waivers for healthcare or drug companies and the 31 new union waivers the Department of Health and Human Services has approved. So Pelosi's district secured about 20% of this latest batch of waivers. And when you look at those who are getting them, Jim, it's just a massive coincidence how all of them are very, very cozy with either the president's reelection effort, or Democratic leaders like Nancy Pelosi. It's clearly a fair and impartial system, considering who will be able to get a waiver from these draconian new health care laws.
You know, when Pelosi has a special booth at 25% of all waiver recipients, that's probably a bad sign. I remember a couple of weeks back, maybe it was a couple of months back, Ace of Spades had written something about how Obamacare was creating a new aristocracy. And it seems hyperbolic, but you can't imagine, one, they have this giant sweeping piece of legislation that effectively, you know, has a huge impact on every single American, a much larger, greater role, a huge new burden or huge new responsibilities for employers, unless Kathleen Sebelius really likes you. And then, you know, then never mind. She can just write you – it's like a note from your parent. You're excused from class today or something. So we've never had a law as giant, as sweeping, and huge as Obamacare. And then we've never had – well, wait a minute. If you know the right person and you make a nice case to them, they can say never mind. It's not like you can think of any other major piece of – you know, country-changing legislation where if you have the right connections – you're exempt from them. And it's just kind of fairly revealing and rather more than a little frustrating that, to me, this just kind of shows the game that's up here, which is, let's impose a huge new impact, a huge new cost on people we don't like, and let's take care of the people we do like because we don't want to louse up their businesses too much. This should be, you know, the umpteenth stake in the heart of Obamacare. Unfortunately, it, you know, will take more than that. It will probably take a Republican president to stop it. I would like to see somebody really get into Obama's face about this and say, how could you justify this? Doesn't this look the least bit ridiculous to you? And you, who was going to clean up Washington, and you, who's going to do all your business on C-SPAN, doesn't this look like, you know, special perks for your friends and for your favorites?
I, however, am a huge fan of the Mike Rogers plan in the House of Representatives, which is waivers for everyone. That he's actually drafted legislation that would allow anyone who wants to opt out of Obamacare can do that. Obviously, it's probably not going to pass given the current political climate, but I love the idea, and I would be at least trying to be first in line to sign up.
I kind of like
that.
It, great, because, like, actually, then, like, the small percentage of Americans who really like it, they could try to live under it. Good luck.
On to more government burdens on the American people now. And if you don't already know, starting next year, you'll no longer be able to buy those evil incandescent light bulbs because they're so cheap. And according to the government, they guzzle energy. So you have a choice starting January of next year. You can either buy those compact fluorescent bulbs, which if you break, you're going to need a hazmat suit for you and your family because poisonous toxins will be gushing out of the unit. Or new makers of these LED bulbs that are set to hit the market early next year, maybe even late this year, are going for anywhere from $40 to $50 a piece. And these don't even last any longer than the current incandescent light bulbs. So, Jim, once again, well done, federal government. Well done.
It's rather revealing that among the highest achievements of the Obama administration will be effectively uninventing the light bulb. As somebody who grew up right next to Edison, New Jersey, named after the Wizard of Menlo Park, Thomas Edison, them fighting words now. Look, you know, it's bad enough that you got to pay $4 a gallon gas to get your $40 light bulbs. And then be told that inflation isn't that bad. This is typical of the Obama administration. But I guess, as we were talking earlier, you know, about the possibility, the sense of an aristocracy in this country, Barack Obama doesn't change light bulbs. everybody at the White House takes care of that stuff for him. He, you know, in his personal home in Chicago, and all, he never does this sort of thing. He doesn't pay out of his own pocket. Even if he did, he's making enough money to not worry about it. And everybody, he, you know, 90-some percent of everyone he interacts with never has to worry about these sorts of things. So to me, this is, you know, this is the sort of thing that, you know, starts revolts. This, you know, this idea that it's another great example of ludicrous, out of control big government nanny state. It's rather ridiculous. You look at the, you know, the amount of mercury that comes out if, God forbid, one of these bulbs breaks in your house. You start thinking, couldn't they have made it out of something safer, like enriched uranium or something like that? But there's a part of me that looks at this, and it's kind of fascinating. The conventional wisdom is that Obama's got at least the inside track for reelection. I look at this, Greg, and I'm like, look, he's got to lose in 2012, or else you and I just will not recognize this country anymore as we stand online for our $40 you know, light bulbs because we couldn't afford to drive there. So America's dead. Other than that, it's doing, things are going okay, Greg. You know?
Exactly. And I'd love to place all the blame at Obama's feet, because he's clearly a stick in the mud on reversing this. But it was President Bush who signed the energy bill in 2007, which declared that these would be phased out. But
well, an observation, like I have no problem with somebody inventing a better light bulb or a light bulb that lasts really long. I'm going to get a little bit personal just to exhibit what I to showcase what I think is some of the piety in Washington. As I've mentioned, I got two little guys here at home, and they spend the day at a daycare center. And at the daycare center, there was a parent who very strongly wanted the school to use organic milk. Some days I get organic milk. Some days I get inorganic milk. It entirely depends on what's at my eye level at the supermarket. If you like organic milk, great, that's fine. But, you know, they wanted the daycare center to only serve organic milk. And the daycare center was going to say no. Or they said, well, you know, if we do it, it's going to cost a lot more money. And I think they calculated like $30 per kid per week. Was going to be the fee. Now, that seems a little high to me, but the bottom line was, you know, obviously the parents got together and the parents decided, no, we're not going to require organic milk. Now, what's interesting is you can send your own milk to this school with your kid. If you really think organic milk is super duper terrific, you have to. You can bring it in and have your kids serve that, and they'll serve it separately. Instead, this parent felt the need to make everyone else give their kids organic milk. It was this perhaps Jonah would call it liberal fascism or something. This idea that, you know, it's not just that I've made a better choice for myself. I need to force this better choice on everyone else. I need to save them from themselves, their own stupidity, and their own poor judgment. And, you know, I think that's very endemic to people who are in Washington.
Yeah, well,
End rant. Sorry to, you know, just kind of end this on on the great milk controversy of the daycare center in Alexandria, Virginia. But to me, it was very reflective of this innocuous lifestyle choice, in which, you know, somebody comes in and says, this choice is better than that choice, and I am going to make people make the choice that I believe is best for everyone.
Be very curious to see if there's going to be any Republican presidential candidate or perhaps Obama himself who could see some political benefit in this. It's certainly there for the taking if any of them want to embrace it. Jim, on that wonderful note, we'll leave it there. Talk to you tomorrow.
Greg, if you need me, I'll be drinking inorganic milk in the dark.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Join us Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.